you for this morning. Thank you for, I'm overwhelmed and humbled by this day, and it's been a long time coming. So thank you for your trust, for inviting me, for welcoming me and my family to be a part of this incredible family. And now that it's official, I feel like there's something I probably should have told you before. And that is that this was not the plan. And I don't mean the part about going from interim to permanent. We'll talk about that some other day. But this wasn't the plan or the dream. When I was a child, I did not dream of growing up to be a pastor. I didn't. And I think it's probably the case for many of you. How many of you here are doing the job or got to do the job that you dreamt of when you were a child? A few of you got to do that wonderful thing. How many of you did not? Right? How many, wait, let's just see in the room, how many of you turned out to be a ballerina? Any ballerinas? How about, do we have any professional NBA or NFL players? No, we don't. How about firefighters? Is anyone here a firefighter for a living? No, we don't have firefighters. What about dolphin trainers from Minnesota? No, no. And how about Olympic gold medalists? Are there any that I don't know about here in the room? See, it's not always what happens, the things that we dream. And I don't want to be a crusher of dreams. That's why we sent the kids to Sunday Funday School. But what I really wanted to be was a detective. I loved the idea of searching for clues and solving mysteries. Well, maybe it was there. Solving mysteries. And I had heroes back in the day. I had spies and detectives and people that I wanted to be like. And they were always out there stumbling upon mysteries and secrets and things that nobody could explain. And they were the ones to get to the bottom of the mystery. They had these instincts and these ways to do it. And some of my heroes were these. First, it was Nancy Drew. And she was just this teenager, and everywhere she went, somehow there was some kind of weird mystery, and she had her friends George and Beth with her. Is it Beth or Bess? Beth and George, and then her sidekick boyfriend, who's kind of like Ken to Barbie, like doesn't really do anything, but he was there periodically. But Nancy could solve these mysteries, and I read every one of the 55 books in the series, and when I ran out of Nancy Drew, I moved to the Hardy Boys. But then I got a little bit older, and I needed more sophisticated mysteries. I connected the word mystery and ministry apart. More sophisticated mysteries, and those were the mysteries of Agatha Christie. So I kept reading Agatha Christie, and I read about Miss Marple and how clever she was, and then the French guy whose name I could never say, so I called him Hercule Poirot. And I learned about how they would solve mysteries, and I love that. But then, primetime television brought me the dream of a life, and it appeared in the form of these three. I thought, if you could really be a Charlie's Angel, that's what I wanted to be. They got to wear costumes. They got to go in disguise. They had fluffy, beautiful hair. And at the end of every hour, they had solved the mystery and put the bad guys away. And that's what I dreamed that I would do. And clearly, that wasn't the dream that came to be. I'm a pastor. I do have fluffy hair, but I do wear a ponytail to rein it in. However, I still fancy myself as something of a detective. I am often faced with mysteries, mysteries in ministries, and I am often looking for clues because I'm convinced that God is up to something in the world, that God is constantly doing things to try to get our attention. And so I make it my job to try to find out what it is that God is doing. I'm sleuthing around for evidence of God. So here we are in week 7 of our Holy Roads series, and we've talked about all kinds of ways that people connect with God, all kinds of ways that we experience God or we see or we recognize God in the world. And so today I want to say, welcome to the way of nature. This is by far, of the 8 roads we're looking at, the most obvious one to me. It's the closest to what I would call universal, the closest thing that most people would say, oh, I get that. It's because this road is about thinking about all the things that are out of doors. And this road brings us to thinking about how it is that we connect nature to our belief in God. And we do that in one way because of our theology. In our theology, if you took an introduction to theology class, you would learn about revelation, not the book at the end of the Bible, but about how God reveals God's self to people. And one of the things we talk about is general revelation, and it's God revealing God's self to all people at all times and all places. Basically, the idea that nature or that God's creation or things that God has made are giving clues enough that everybody could be able to say, oh, there's something there. It's like God is leaving all these clues. I would say nature is God's billboard announcing his presence to the world, saying, hey, here I am. I'm out here. Keep looking. Check this out. There's a design to this wonderful and amazing world that we live in. There's a creator who's creative and complex and beautiful and powerful. And there's all these clues to see. God wants to be found and is not far away. So vocationally speaking, I resonate with Henry David Thoreau, who said this: my profession is to always be alert, to find God in nature, to know God's lurking places, and to attend all the oratorios and operas in nature. Thoreau says, get to be a detective. Look to see where is God lurking, and we find him best outside. That's this idea of general revelation. And then we have the whole witness of the Bible telling us about what God has made. Scriptures is full of narratives and poems and teaching about how nature is meant to give evidence to God. It says, it starts at the very beginning of the Bible, starts with a narrative of creation. It's like the prologue to the whole story, and it tells us how the world came to be. That there was one that had a design in mind. There was one that could speak and things would come to be. And then as the book goes on, it tells all about all kinds of things, talking about what happens in the Bible. It says, the heavens declare and the skies proclaim. When we read the Psalms, we see things like the psalmist saying, praise the Lord, sun and moon and stars and trees and skies and sea creatures and snow and wild animals. We hear Jesus speaking, as Ramona read earlier, Jesus speaking and saying, think about the lilies and think about the birds. They're all meant to point you back to this God. So there's all these things that say specifically those things in the Bible, but have you ever thought about this? This is what kind of came to mind this last week or so. But most of the things that happen in the Bible, the experience of human beings, the narratives of the Bible, happen outside. People are encountering God and they're outside. No one is ever in a Target, at least in the Bible, and they experience God. They're not in office buildings or warehouses or schools or malls. They're not driving in their car. They're not sitting in a concert. They're outside. If they are inside, they're in tents or houses or tabernacles, but for the most part, they're outside. And when they encounter God in profound and life-changing ways, it's out of doors. So again, the first human beings back in Genesis 1 live in a garden, and it says they walk side by side with God. They encounter God face to face by being in this thing that God created. In Exodus, Moses experiences God when he's out in the wilderness and there's this burning bush that's there. Jacob comes to a place and he's running away from home and he stops and he sleeps out under the stars and he declares that the place that he's in outside is the house of God. All the first cathedrals were outside. Elijah talks to God in the mouth of a cave. We see the people walking through the parted waters of the sea, sometimes wandering in the wilderness, fighting on battlefields, and then Jesus comes on the scene and puts on human flesh. And when Jesus comes on, the people that first hear about it are outside with their sheep. They're the first ones to know and hear about the birth of Jesus. And then there's Jesus born among created things, among creatures. And then we watch Jesus go walking on roads, standing by the sides of lakes and rivers, being in a boat in a storm, praying in a garden and hanging on a cross. And then when the Bible wraps up in Revelation, it ends in a city, but the predominant feature is this tree, the tree of life. There are all these people encountering God when they're in nature, and it makes you just kind of wonder. The ancient people had this connection with nature and God that was just a given. Here I am, I know who made this. I will be in contact or in communication with the one who made this. All of these things. And then even in the book of Job, Job kind of points us to thinking about how we encounter God in nature. And Job is this complicated book, but Job's story begins when his life has been decimated. And he's sitting outside of the ruins of his home after he's lost everything. And for 40 chapters, 42 chapters, he argues with God. He complains a whole bunch. He argues with his friends. And then every now and then he has this little epiphany moment where he points back, where he goes back to where he came from. And in Job 12, he says, if you want to know what's going on, ask what God made. He says, ask the animals and they'll teach you. Ask the birds of the sky and they'll tell you, or speak to the earth and it will teach you. Let the fish of the sea inform you. Which of these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind. Job says that created things, everything that lives and breathes, and even the things that do not live and breathe that have been made, know about God and have stories to tell. So we have this theology about revelation. We have all the scriptural witness, but then we have our own human experience to guide us on the way of nature. That's why this was the easiest of all the roads to talk about, because I threw out a survey over the last 2 weeks and just said, hey, answer a couple questions if you're willing. Send me an email. Send me a text. Tell me in person. And you said these things. You talked about these things that you experienced. Here's what you said. I think we have to skip one slide, Rick. The things I said, these were the things. What in nature points you to God? Birds got a lot. People love birds. Connor says that's because our congregation's a little older. But I liked birds. I like birds. But people say all kinds of things. We got this whole long list of things. What's on the next one? We got deer, raccoons, baby ducks, earth from looking from outer space, stones, the perfection of nature, the smell after the rain. You said all of these different things. And then Jess pulled our kids, and they wrote me notes about what they thought. And I just want to show you some of our brilliant kids. Fire, because it's bright, but not as bright as God. They said, the sun reminds me of God because it's filled with spirit and life. The songs of birds because they're beautiful. How about plants? Because they remind me about how we grow. And we grow because of God. We got some brilliant kids in this church. And then I also asked, then how does that make you feel? What are the things that point you to God that make you say, oh, or whoa? Like Connor said, these kind of wow moments. And how does it make you feel? And these are some of the things he said. Content and satisfied. In awe. I feel like it's a foretaste of heaven. I feel happy. I feel God's love and power, and I feel thankful and centered. John Glenn, the astronaut, said, like, his view, because he got to view space from space, and he said, to look up out at this kind of creation and not believe in God, he said, to me is impossible. He said, I'm looking at all of this that was made, and for me to not believe that there was someone who did this, he said, it just blows my mind. This place that I am. So it gives us this chance to feel and respond. And so the question today is, where is it that you have noticed or felt close to God? Become overwhelmed with thanks and praise, or just that obvious, oh, there you are, Lord. Because what we find in nature is healing sometimes and rest. We get an opportunity to notice and thank and be and praise. Sometimes you have this deep desire to be outdoors. For some of you that are naturalists, this is really your thing. It just takes your breath away. And it's something that we can be certain of. The sun's gonna rise. That's how I get through the hardest days. The most difficult news to listen to, the disappointment and devastation when things don't go the way that I thought they should or that I thought God would make them go. The sun is going to rise again and again and again. Because God intended it that way. So here we have God giving this revelation to say, I just want you to know at the very least that I'm here and that I made this. That's called general revelation. And then we also talk about special revelation, that I'm sure that God also has something for each person in each time and each place so that we might know more. More than just that there's a God who's creative and makes things, but a God who loves us. And who wants goodness for us, who invites us to live lives that are free from shame and darkness. That's called special revelation. It comes through the Bible. It comes through personal encounters. It comes through the person of Jesus. He made each of us uniquely and continues to find unique ways of getting our attention. And so we get to be detectives on the hunt and searching for clues about what God is doing in the world. And Connor so articulately gave us a picture of what that looks like. So I don't want to add to what he said, but if you go back and listen or ask Connor to tell you again what he said, because he articulated so beautifully this connection of not just that God, yep, I see that you made something, but I experience you in this wonder of what you have made. So keep on looking for clues and keep on asking, what else? What next? What do you have, Lord? What else are you doing in this world in which we live? Would you join me in prayer? Thank you, Lord, for the beauty of what you have made. We have looked at these lists that just came so freely from people. The things that we see, the things that we smell, the things that we feel, the things that we experience when we are in nature, when we get outside, when we feel the difference of the temperature, when we feel the sun on our skin, when we feel the wind in our hair, when we feel those things, Lord, they are meant to remind us that you are real. Make it be, Lord, that whenever we see those things and we are in awe, we say yes, we say we see you, and then, Lord, show us more. Show us more of who you are, the more of your character, the more of your depth, more of the invitation into relationship with the God who made the universe. We pray and thank you that you are ours, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.